Well, how many know what I spoke on last week? Don't all shout it all at once. Believing is speaking, yes, the power of your word. So I just wanted to recap that because we all need a recap. We all need to hear it over and over and over, right? Isn't that what the word says? Faith comes by how?
Hearing.
Hearing, and by the hearing of the word. And that the literal translation is hearing and hearing over and over, hearing and hearing over and over. So I started out in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is out of the Amplified. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God. See, we got to take that verse 20, the number 20 out of there and just continue with that sentence because it says, therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God. Amen. Obey his voice and cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we talked about all heaven and earth are called to witness our choice. We have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice to choose life or to choose death. Remember we talked about that? And we are choosing to live and to love God. And if you look back at that verse, let me just reference the second part of that verse 19. It says, second part of verse 20 says, obey his voice, cling to him for length of days, like your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, unless you're of Jewish descent, you know, you're not of Abraham, but we are spiritual children of Abraham. I'm not going into that much, but you really need to get a revelation of that because it helps. It makes sense of everything when you understand that you are a child of Abraham. Amen? So how do we choose life? How do we choose life? And we went to Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21, and it says, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. How do we choose? With our words. You know, it's interesting there. It says that our words have consequence. A lot of people don't like to dwell on that too much. Because a lot of people don't think before they speak. You ever been in an argument with a friend or family member or spouse, and you say something mean, and they say, you take that back right now. And if you're obedient, you say, yes, I take it back. There is no taking it back, though. When you speak those words, they are out there. The consequences have already happened. You can't take them back. That's why we have to guard our mouth continually. Continually. Now, there's grace. Listen, let's not get there. I know y'all are thinking, oh my gosh, all those words I've said all my life. His grace is sufficient for you. But what I'm saying is words are powerful. We choose life or death by the words that we speak. Amen? So therefore, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Make choices that lead to life by speaking them out of your mouth. And then we talked about how speaking exposes your heart, right? Because word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's coming out of your mouth is exposing what is in your heart. So I'm here to say, judge yourself. Judge your words. What words are coming out of your mouth? And you'll be able to see inside what is in your heart. It exposes our heart. And we'll see the consequences of it, sometimes immediately, sometimes down the road. You know, we will see the consequences of that. So if our words expose our heart, then we better get our heart right. Yes? We better get our heart right. How do we do that? Well, if we choose life by speaking it, and we talk about believing is speaking, speaking what is in the heart, then what are we believing in our heart? What are we believing? So today I want to get into believing is righteousness. Believing is righteousness. So what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Right standing with God? Yes. Right way of doing things? Sure. Let me give you a definition in Noah Webster's original dictionary. He says, righteousness is purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness, as used in scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion, from Noah Webster, 1828. But let me read this about righteousness. And again, believing is righteousness. This is out of Thayer's lexicon, and it's a little lengthy, but I think it's worth covering. He says, in the writings of Paul, righteousness has a peculiar meaning, opposed to the views of the Jews and Judaizing Christians. To understand this meaning, the following facts especially must be kept in view. The following facts about righteousness. The Jews as a people, and very many who had become converts from among them to Christianity, supposed that they secured the favor of God by works. We've heard that. We know that, right? They thought they secured the favor of God by works, conformed to the requirements of the Mosaic law, as though by way of merit, and that they would thus attain an eternal salvation. But this law demands perfect obedience to all its precepts and threatens condemnation to those who do not render such obedience. If you don't follow the law, every jot and tittle to the T under the old Mosaic law, what the Jewish people were under, then that was it. And it says, if you offend in one, you offend in all. So you miss one little part of it, and you offended the whole law. You missed it. It says, obedience of this kind no one has rendered, neither Jews nor Gentiles. For with the latter, the natural law of right written on their souls takes the place of the Mosaic law. On this account, Paul proclaims the love of God in that by giving up Christ, his Son, to die as an expiatory, atoning, or propitiation is what that means. Sacrifice for the sins of men, he has attested his grace and goodwill to mankind so that they can hope for salvation as if they had not sinned. That's us. But the way to obtain this hope, he teaches, is only through faith, by which a man appropriates that grace of God revealed and pledged in Christ, and this faith is reckoned by God to the man as righteousness. That is to say, righteousness denotes the state acceptable to God, which becomes a sinner's possession through that faith by which he embraces the grace of God offered him in the expiatory death of Jesus Christ. I know that was lengthy, but it talks about a lot of stuff in there. Our righteousness is our right standing with God. Yes, it's our right way of doing things, but we don't get it by following the law. We get it by one and only one way, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus shed his blood at Calvary, he made a way for us Remember that day? I mean, it's recorded, and even Josephus talks about this, where the whole sky turned dark, and blankets there that went into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, or in the temple, that rent into, that was what kept the people out of the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, where only the high priest could go into. And on that day, it says, that tapestry tore in two, giving access to all of us into the throne room of God. Amen? Righteousness. Again, if believing is speaking, and what are we speaking? We're speaking out of what is in our heart. Well, what is in our heart? What are we believing in our heart? Are we believing that we are righteous? Some of us have a hard time with that. I mean, we're natural people. We're in this earth, right? So we deal with natural things going on in this earth. And it is hard for us sometimes to wrap our natural mind around righteousness and all that it means. But it's something that can't be discerned in the natural. It has to be discerned spiritually. Spiritually. We have to understand who we are in Christ by the Spirit. The Old and New Covenant references to this word, they mean almost nearly the exact same thing. Old Covenant, New Covenant, we're good there. But their application is completely different. Let me say that again. Old and New Covenant references to this word mean nearly the exact same thing, but their application is completely different. How righteousness is applied is completely different from the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. It's kind of like if you've ever been on the road and there's two different routes. If you know how to use Google Maps, it'll tell you alternate routes. It's kind of like this. When I used to deliver, when I was in the waffle business, I had my route. I had to deliver up to Lewisburg, West Virginia. Everybody know where that is? There's no good way to get there. But there are two ways, at least that I know of. So I had a choice. I could either take 64 back to 220, back to 81, all nice, straight, smooth, not a lot of curves in the road. Or I could go 219, what I called the back way. And you're talking about windy. Really windy roads. And then you're going through all these different little towns, and the speed limit is changing every 10 feet, it seems like. You know, so you really have to focus and pay attention when you're driving that route. I just tell on myself. I was driving 219, and it was kind of like just beyond dusk. And Nikki will tell you, if I get to drive and I start thinking talking, or I just, you know, my directions go out the window. But there's this one little town, and it's like 45 up to the town, and then you go through this S-curve, and I can't remember the name of the town, but it looks like you're going to drive into somebody's driveway, and you go, and it goes down to like 15, and but then there's this one little road that shoots off. So I'm driving along, you know, just bebopping along, I'm supposed to turn this way. Well, I just miss, I zoom right over this hill here, and I'm going down through here, and I'm just not paying attention. I mean, and all of a sudden, literally, I mean, this is after 2 miles, right? I am in somebody's driveway looking at their house. And I'm thinking to myself, how did I get here? And then I started panicking. I was like, where am I? Well, I mean, did I get translated? And then God, do you want me to go up and witness to the people in this house? I mean, I was talking all, but no, it's so easy to get your focus off. And that's kind of how, let's just take that back to the realm of the Spirit. Old covenant versus new covenant, righteousness then and righteousness now. You know, old covenant, you had to pay attention to every little detail, every little detail. If you got off track, that was it, right? New covenant, man, it's a straight, smooth, laid out path that Jesus took for us. That is our righteousness. That is our righteousness in Christ. That is what we have if you're a child of God. Amen? Under the old righteousness, you got righteousness by fulfilling all the law. That was works of works. New, you're righteous by the atoning blood of Jesus. That's grace. That is grace. But even before the law of Moses was introduced, the idea of righteousness had already been established. Did you know that? Now remember what I asked you in the beginning? One word from God can impact your life. Keep that. Keep that feather in your cap as we're talking. One word can impact your life. The idea of righteousness had been established. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. All right, I'm coming out of this jacket because it is hot. Are you there yet? Genesis 6, verse 8 in the Amplified reads like this: But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and righteous man. Blameless in his evil generation, Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. Keep your finger on that verse and then look down to Genesis 7:1. It goes on to say, And the Lord said to Noah, Come with all your household into the ark, for I have seen you to be righteous, upright, and in right standing before me in this generation. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it confirms it in the New Testament. It says, And he spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven other persons when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly people. So what made Noah righteous? Now remember, this is prior to the Mosaic Law. This is prior to all the Ten Commandments and the 400 and some ordinances that they had to obey to be righteous. This was before that. But it talks about Noah being a righteous man. What made Noah righteous? Well, let's, before we answer that, turn to Genesis 15. And let's look at someone else prior to the law whom God found righteous. 15, verse 6, reads this way, And he, Abram, believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him as righteousness. Righteousness. And then keep your finger on that verse and go to Genesis 18. Verse 19 says, For I have known, chosen, acknowledged him as my own, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his house after him to keep the way of the Lord and to do what is just and righteous, so that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him. So what made Abraham righteous? Well, we see from those previous scriptures that Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. He walked, that's what it says. Noah walked in habitual fellowship. Now, that's a good habitual. You're not like a habitual offender, okay? You want to be a habitual offender of this verse. Walking in habitual fellowship with God. And he preached, or he spoke. Righteousness. Believing is speaking. Believing is righteousness. And then Abraham believed in the Lord, it says, and was faithful to teach others. So just like Noah before the law, By walking in continual fellowship with God and speaking or preaching righteousness or life, in other words. Just like Noah, just like Abraham before the law, believing in the Lord and being faithful to do all He has commanded. So, again, the question. What are you believing in your heart? Because what you are believing in your heart is going to eventually make its way out of your mouth. Amen? So there's only one way that you can be righteous. And that is by faith. Faith in what? In Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. That is all. That is all you need to be righteous and right standing with God, is the blood of Jesus applied. And when I'm doing this thing on social media, 20 seconds of courage, and encouraging people to share their faith, to just talk to someone about Jesus. But that's how simple it can be. Is to share Jesus and what He has done so that they can enter into that rest. How many of you know some people that need some rest from some stuff in their life? Know some people that need to know who Jesus is and what He did? Well, I believe first you have to understand who you are in Christ. I mean, it's one thing to tell somebody about something, but if you don't believe it yourself, you're not going to be very convincing. You're just not. I'm sorry. That's like, I used to sell cars, and we used to sell used cars. Not so much the new cars, but used cars. And if a car came in and I knew it had a problem, it was very difficult for me to sell that to someone. I mean, I know there are others that don't care, but it was hard for me. I wanted to disclose everything, right? You have to believe in what you're selling in order to be convincing. You have to believe who you are in Christ and what you're saying in order to be convincing. What are you believing in your heart? What are you believing in your heart? Faith that Jesus is the Son of God, who was raised on the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's your inheritance. That is your legacy. And it's by faith. We receive it by faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans is a tremendous, every scripture contained in this book is tremendous. But Romans has a unique way of putting, it really encourages us about who we are in Christ. It really does. I highly recommend that you take this next week and you read the book of Romans and you let the Holy Spirit, before you start reading, here's the key. Here's a little nugget for you. Before you even pick up that word, you pray and say, Holy Spirit, reveal things to me in your word. What are you saying here? Show me. It says that He'll lead and guide us into all truth. He'll show you the truth of what His Word is saying. You pray before you read to get revelation. Right? We've been talking about Ephesians. The Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. You want to know what your call is? Pray that prayer. Read the Word. I guarantee you He'll reveal it to you. He will. Are you at Romans 4 yet? Romans chapter 4, verse 5 reads, "But to one who, not working by the law, trusts, believes fully in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness, the standing acceptable to God." You see, it's by faith that we receive this righteousness. And why am I mean, I think righteousness, our understanding of righteousness, is key to accessing the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Understanding our righteousness, who we are in Christ, our righteousness is key to receiving that abundant life, to walk, to be walking in that abundant life. Because if you don't know you are righteous, one, your prayers don't avail a whole lot. Because the Word says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Right? I know you want powerful, impactful prayers, right? The prayers of a righteous man avail much. We have to understand our righteousness. And we need to just talk about that. You need to talk to God about that. You need to get insight and wisdom about that. You need to be saying it about yourself. I am righteous. Come on, let's say it. I am righteous. I am righteous. Does that sound weird to you when you're saying it? When you're hearing it in your ears and coming out of your mouth? I am. Now, I'm not talking about self-righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you've got to be in Christ to be able to say that and believe it. I am righteous. You are righteous. And because you are righteous, you are powerful. And you are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. When you understand your righteousness in Christ, you are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And you are powerful for the kingdom of light. Because when you believe that in your heart, when you understand righteousness in your heart, and you are talking to someone, then you are very convincing. And I'm not talking in the natural realm, I'm talking in the spiritual realm. I remember I shared this when I was talking about the first great awakening that happened in this great country. And his name just, whoop, it was right there and it's gone. Edwards, Jonathan Edwards, I believe. They said he would be just, and I shared this, but he would just be up there reading his sermon in a monotone voice. This is the way you get to heaven. But it broke out. Well, that was nothing in the natural that he was doing. That was all supernatural. That was by the Spirit of God that the Great Awakening overtook this land. You see, it's not the man's righteousness, self-righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. Amen? Rome, you know, can we do this? Can we just read this whole chapter in chapter 4. I know I don't want to read it to put you all to sleep. This is not a lullaby. This is not a bedtime story. But I think it contains some good stuff that is relevant for what the Lord is wanting to say to us today. And I'll read it out of the King James since it won't be as wordy. If I can get all my these and thous correct. He says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" He's a question. What are we going to say about this? "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." He believed God. He believed. Believing is righteousness. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." In other words, if you work for it, it's a debt owed you. "But To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or the Jews, those under the natural, Abraham as their natural father? Or upon the uncircumcision also, us, Gentiles? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, not under the covenant then. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, where no law is, there is no transgression. In other words, if there are no speeding signs, speed limit signs, if there's no speed limit signs on the road and you're going 80 miles an hour, there's no law being broken. You don't know that you've broke the law. But once they put that speed limit sign up there and it says 45 and Dusty's doing 65 in his Corvette, guess what? He done broke the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law. All right, where was I? 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe? I think I'll stop there. But man, I could keep on going. I love the book of Romans. So, once you understand, once you have revelation, and it's got to be revelation. It's got to be revelation. What do I mean by that? It has to drop down. Once you have revelation of something, no one can take it from you. No one can convince you otherwise, no matter how strong their argument is. No one can take it from you. Once you understand who you are in Christ, no one, nothing, no circumstance can take it from you. no one. That's what revelation is. And that's the point that we need to get to, where it is revelation of our righteousness so that we can be effective, powerful. And listen, it's already been done. It's already been done. The blood has been shed. The blood has been shed. And just like Noah, what are some things we can do? Well, we can be in habitual fellowship with God. We can believe in our heart. We can speak or preach them out of our mouth. Amen? Yeah. We can be faithful to teach others. You know, I think that's in Scripture for a very good reason, where it says that Abraham was faithful to teach his descendants. Faithful to teach. Because if you get a revelation of something and you keep it unto yourself, what benefit is that? If you get a revelation of something, if God shows you something and you keep it completely to yourself, there's no benefit. I mean, you may have a benefit because you understand something. But we're to give out. Give out continually. So revelation is not for private use, if I could put it that way. Revelation is to help expand the kingdom in the earth. So when you get revelation of your righteousness, teach someone else. Show someone else. That's what your testimony is. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We're to be sharing our testimony. We're to be sharing that revelation that the Lord has given us each and every day. Amen? Amen. And once you understand that, I'm telling you, there'll be no stopping you. There'll be no stopping you. Because no one can. Because no one can. Now, I'm not saying go out there like a, what's my analogy here? Giant snowball wrecking everything in its path. You got to share as the Lord leads. Yeah? As the Holy Spirit leads. You know, the most powerful thing you have is the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I believe that the most powerful way that He communicates with us, and this may be contrary to some of what you're thinking is, it's not extraordinary miracles, signs and wonders. I believe the most powerful way is that small inner voice. That small inner voice. He's talking to you all the time. He is talking to you all the time. And if you will listen, obey, there will be tremendous power available. Wonder-working power. There will be power for miracles. There will be power for healing. There will be power to speak words of life. There will be power to believe, and believing is righteousness. Amen? I came across this quote the other day. It says, when we realize that Christ makes us right, we can't help but worship Him. When we realize, when we get revelation, when we get revelation that Christ has made us right, we can't help but worship Him. And I was thinking about, you know, I know worship can mean a broad range of things. I was thinking immediately my mind went to praise and worship. You know, and I have always enjoyed praise and worship. I've always been a worshiper in that sense, in other words. I love singing. I'm fairly animated with my worship. And I know that's not for everybody. That's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. You can sing now. It says make a joyful noise. So it doesn't matter if... I know you probably don't let Marshall sing at home, do you? But it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So you can... When you know, I mean, listen, how can I say this? When you understand, have revelation of your righteousness in Christ, you can be a fool for Christ. You can worship Him unabated, like David did when they were bringing the ark back. Says he danced his clothes right off of them. I mean, you get to the point where you're not worried about what that person thinks of you about sharing your testimony in Walmart. You're not worried about what all them other people standing in line are thinking. When you understand your righteousness in Christ, you are unashamed. You are unashamed. And you want... Listen, you want to reach out to people that need Christ. You have a desire to reach out. And that comes in different ways. I'm not here to, you know, bring condemnation on anyone because you don't get up in the Walmart line and start preaching Jesus. I'm not talking about that. But we talk about our sphere of influence and people that are around us and people we work with, people, you know, we have a relationship with. That is really where it counts. Those that you have relationship with already. Understanding your righteousness in Christ so that you can be powerful in their life. Right? Does that make sense? Well, I've been drinking a lot of water. I think I did too much hollering at the game. I do believe that this is just another key that we really have to understand as the end time church. Somebody say, I am the church.
I am the church.
And you are in the end time. So you are the end time church. You are the end time church, and we need to understand this. Listen, these are critical things. Our words, how powerful our words are. Understanding our righteousness, because we want our prayers to be powerful. These are all key things coming together, culminating in this end time, in these last days. The church is the single most important entity in the earth today. The church is the change agent for the world. That's you and me. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? But we can do it. Amen. Because His grace is sufficient for you, for me, for all of us. All of us. What a tremendous time we live in. What an awesome time to be alive. I believe this, that my generation will see the return of Jesus. I believe that. I know there were previous generations that I'm sure had the exact same conviction, and that's okay. And if He tarries, and my natural body leaves this earth first, that's all right. I still believe. I still believe. we'll see the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. So we got to be ready and we got to be doing our part. We got to be getting in alignment with our assignments. We're all a part of the body. We all function as the body. And without a specific part, the body doesn't function as well. So we all got to be doing our part to be healthy and to be fulfilling, I believe, what the Lord has us to do. Christian Growth Center, we have a strategic mission. We are a strategic church. We are mighty and powerful. We believe faith, faith, faith. Faith to reach out and change people's lives. Faith to pray and believe and change the course, the direction of things, like with Operation School Guard. Changing the course of things happening in the schools and young people's lives in the New River Valley. We are strategic. We are strategic. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen.